Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. There's been a little going on in the news, but not really that much to really kind of keep you on strings. I do plan on talking a little bit about the immigration and so forth, but or I should say that chain or that caravan of migrants coming up. So if you wanted to weigh in on that, by all means, you can call in. But let me kind of get through the obligatory sponsors and those things that I like to keep up front and letting you know about. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that will provide you with everything you need to know and understand regarding taking back the Constitution and getting the federal government back into compliance to the Constitution. It's pretty simple. We're working with organizations that are focused in doing that. And some of those organizations I've talked about, and I talk about a lot because I believe there's a symbiotic relationship. I'm really waiting for the We the People Foundation to come online so that we can kind of actually get more people to kind of start talking, because what I want to do is create synergy. I don't want to create competition. I want people to be, and most everybody that is in this pool working with us, as I've said before, we're all literally trying to work together. It's just that we want to make sure that we are leveraging and utilizing resources the best we can and getting the biggest bang for what little buck we've got. And so the number to call in is 215-867-8255. And so with that, I also want to tell you that I'm really looking forward. It's getting closer and closer for me to make a trip and speak to a state of Republicans. And we're going to talk about, believe it or not, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room. And so that is a play on words, but there's something that nobody is talking about, and it is the elephant. And so anyway, as you know, the show is really supporting the state legislators who are willing to protect their citizens from federal tyranny. This is not dedicated to those going into Congress. It's not that I hate Congress. Congress is just failing to do their job. And they are so entrenched in the swamp. The system itself is the swamp. Congress is the swamp. Go look at the swamp from CRTV. If you go to Northwest Grassroots YouTube channel, they actually have the four little videos that they kind of stitched together. Watch that. It will prove to you that Congress is literally a part of the swamp. The staffers, all of those people, that's all a part of the swamp. And so part of the focus that we also have is trying to support the grassroots leaders, and that's who I'm going to be speaking to next month in Wyoming. And so we're looking forward to that trip. We're looking forward to actually working with some North Dakotians and South Dakotians as well. I've been, you know, getting some receptive pings back from the North Dakotians, and I've got to get back. I've been in connected with the South Dakota, but I need to start picking that fruit because it's ripe, and there's no doubt in my mind these red states are ready to actually step up. And so any state and any state legislator who's willing to protect their citizen from federal tyranny means that they're willing to protect all of us from federal tyranny. Now, if you do happen to call in, my three C's, just real quick, I just want to remind you, because I talk about my three C's. If you know me by name, please be confidential. I go by GR. I ask that you be civil. That's the second C. And the third C is be concise. Get to the point so that we can kind of attack, you know, the issue, or the, you know, we can quickly answer your question if that's possible. Again, the three C's: confidential, civil, and concise. I also feel obligated, or actually I feel not just obligated, I actually feel kind of relieved that we finally got the crowdfunding set up, and that crowdfunding is available. If you go to GoFundMe and just Google, or actually just search Reclaiming the Republic GoFundMe, and it'll take you right to the campaign. Go through, read that. If you've got any questions or if you have any other concerns with what your money's going to, by all means, please let me know, because I'm really just trying to cover cost. It costs a lot to air, and it takes a lot of time to create a market space. We don't have time. I tell you, we have 2 to 5 years. We do not have time for me to create, because it takes literally years. Bob Zadek, who's just in a couple of markets over in San Francisco, Sacramento, Seattle, and maybe one other new city. And that takes a little while, and he does that all without at his own expense. And as you can tell, I've had one sponsor, and technically the Von Tracy Dental, I will be dropping that. So I really don't have any more sponsors. So if you are looking, because I'm dirt cheap, I'm just trying to cover my costs. I'm not trying to make a penny out of this. So if you want to sponsor, like I say, a real upcoming show, just let me know. But bottom line is that GoFundMe is literally to help pay for me and the other resources that I need, such as a videographer to going out, so that I don't have to make a lot of trips. I'm not trying to make money here. This is not a niche that I want to even be involved in. There are so many other things that I would much rather be pursuing. So with that, by all means, you're more than welcome to contribute if you want to. And as I always say, you can contribute directly with financing. If you want to really help get an elected official elected that is supporting the audit as well as Republic Review and calling out the federal government on tyranny, that would be supporting Marty Halverson and Chad Christensen. I actually hope to have him call in again this week. I'd just like to kind of have him introduce himself to you, the listeners, so that you kind of understand where he's at, why he got into this race, and what he's planning on doing. That way he can kind of tell you, because bottom line, he signed the commitment, the pledge that he was going to be calling for the audit. And so I think that would be, it's important to have somebody that's willing to take that kind of heat, because I'm telling you, it's going to be an uphill climb for some of these folks in some of these states. Maybe not as much in Idaho, but I tell you, California, that legislator that probably makes that announcement on the floor probably won't even survive getting back to his seat. He'd probably have a contract out to have him hit anyway, if you understand what I mean. And so let me just grovel real quick. If you do want to contribute, but maybe you don't have the money, but you've got time, computer, phone, or what have you, you're not alone. There's lots of people that don't have money to be able to contribute to anything, but they do have time and they have a computer or phone or what have you. So send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.com, and I will introduce you to things that you can do. And, or as I've been saying, you can join the Constitution Club and start getting involved and drilling into the counties and the state where you live, county and so forth. That way, you can actually start getting involved in creating dialogue and so forth. I know that there, I believe Keith and the Constitution Club is going to be primed and ready to go in January when the sessions begin to start emailing out the 7 states, I believe, at least Utah and the other 6 states, and potentially other states, in getting them to consider looking at the 17th Amendment from a different perspective via the Constitution, and literally challenging exactly what has happened, because the progressives have set the stage. All we've got to do is go and enjoy the meal that they've set for us, because it will be a sweet victory if we actually sit down at that table, because we will be able to rescind the 17th Amendment. And how sweet would that be, right? Okay, so anyway, let me move on. As I looked through the news, I saw lots of different news, but there is no sign, there is no news that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so that leaves you and me. That leaves us patriots. If we are going to save the Constitution, it is literally upon us. And the focus that we have is on our state legislators, just like I said at the very beginning of the show, almost every day. We have to focus on getting them educated and getting them to stand up. bottom line, I know a lot of state legislators that I have talked to. They're Republicans. Everybody says they're great people, but as far as I'm concerned, they either don't get it or they don't care. And so when the time comes when we're literally facing what I would call the inevitable fall off the precipice that this republic is sitting on, they can probably be well aware of the fact that I will be around the corner ready to poke them in the eye and say, see, I told you so. And I hope you're going to be willing to do that. We have to call them out. As a matter of fact, what I'm really trying to do is I'm going to be working with the local people within these legislative districts to get these folks replaced. They may be doing good conservative stuff, but they're not doing what they should be doing, because the primary focus of a legislator, it's right there in their oath. The first thing that they're supposed to do is protect and support the Constitution. And so if they're failing to do that, then they're, as far as I'm concerned, they are failing. And so I think you'll really find this presentation I'm going to be doing, because we're going to make it available on YouTube, I think you'll find it a breath of fresh air, because it's taking the perspective as what we should be looking at the party system and how the party system should be working instead of the way it functions today. We no longer are going to just accept the concept of we do as we're told. And so I'm at a hard break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about a couple of news items, but I want to get into the 49th article of the Federalist Papers. So we will be digging into that. And I think you'll find it very enlightening. So we'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so as promised, I do have a couple of things that I kind of want to get you to kind of look at. And as actually, I like to call it something to think about. You probably see these things on YouTube. You see these things on Facebook, social media, and so forth. You see people use the term of privilege, white privilege. You probably saw the real interesting, and the way they present these arguments and information it really makes it seem like things are unfair. And that's what they are trying to convey, that we're an unfair society, when actually we're becoming unfair because government is getting involved in everything. I ask people, what kind of economy do we have? And I'm going to leave it out there for you. Let you think about this. What kind of economy do we have? Do we have a real free market economy? I'll let you think about that. But back to social media and how these insidious little, I'll call them perverts, are literally trying to portray things. They're trying to marginalize, and they're trying to actually diminish the qualities of this republic and the qualities of our life, not just for our life, as in a very specific class of demographic, anybody who lives here, and the quality of life and the opportunities that avail them. You can go to any country and you can find entitlement or privilege and or what we call heritage or inheritance a standard part of society. It is communistic to think. And if you look at the planks of communism, you know, the abolishment of inheritance, the abolishment of private property is a part of communism. It's actually a part of Platonism as well. And so the concept that they try to portray is, oh, well, because your family has lived here for so long, you've had, you know, the ability to purchase all this land and be able to, you know, invest and be thrifty, and you've been able to benefit on that over generations. Well, excuse me, but what country doesn't allow that to happen except for communist countries? Go to Japan, right? Have you ever heard of the city of Hitachi? And did you know that Hitachi makes tractors and all sorts of different types of products? They don't just make VCRs and tools and stuff. it's not just unique in the United States. Those concepts of heritage, inheritance, and those types of things have been a part of the Western society for a long time, and even Eastern society, where families would, you know, bequeath upon their children, you know, what is left of their estate or what have you. Or, you know, it would be, you know, evenly divided, period. The fact of the matter is what they're trying to do is they're trying to, you know, basically make the paradigm shift of getting you to think that, well, that's not fair, because people that are just coming to this country shouldn't be just happy with the opportunity of having the liberty. They should have the opportunity of getting ahead of you so that they have what they consider an equal opportunity or an equal advantage. And that's what social justice is. And you hear me talk about this a lot. Social justice is the redistribution of wealth, justice, outcome, and so forth. And it is literally communism. And what we are being duped into believing when we see these memes, when we see these videos, we're being duped into believing, oh, well, shoot, that, you know, that's bad. And what got me on this today was there was this cartoon that was out in Facebook page. And somebody basically just threw it out there like, hey, you know, here is the facts. And it has two pictures of, you know, two women with their kids. And across the street, there's a guy street sweeping. He's cleaning the street. And the first caption basically has the one mother pointing to the guy, you know, sweeping the street, saying, if you don't study, you'll end up like him. And so the other caption shows the other lady, and she uses an expletive, so I won't use that. But she says, that man has a union job with full benefits and makes more pay than this judgmental, you know what, will ever make with her liberal arts degree. Now, I don't know what you understand as a liberal arts degree, but a liberal arts degree, that term came to the terminology actually came, I believe, from the Roman Empire or possibly maybe the Greek Empire. But the fact of the matter is, the liberal arts means that those people who were free, those people who were not bonded or slaved, who had the ability to receive a greater education and or information, to become like a doctor, to become something more than just a laborer. And so, to be clear, the caption that is stating that, you know, this guy is a union worker with benefits is really an indictment of our society, because who used to do street sweeping? And what was a street sweeper's job? Was it literally a professional career? I want to grow up, I want to be able to get certified as a street sweeper. It's an entry-level job, just like beggars. And if you look at what we have done to our economy and to our system, we have created this concept, and this is all left progressivism that is the antithesis of Western civilization. These concepts of full benefits and a living wage for an entry-level job is literally a government involving itself instead of allowing the labor market to work for itself. The people that used to do that kind of work used to be kids, high school kids, college kids, what have you, kids that wanted to be able to earn money so that they could get ahead because maybe they lived in a poor family and they had time during the day or what have you. A street sweeper is nothing to be ashamed of, but it is an entry-level job. And a young man or a young woman should be very proud of being able to say, hey, I've got a job, I'm contributing to society, I may not be making much. The real problem is of these concepts of minimum wage or living wage. When we start dictating what a person should be getting and what is considered a living wage, it is almost like it's tantamount to giving everybody college education when everybody is entitled to a quality of life and a standard of living. Then we have crossed that barrier from a totally free market towards a total statist government. And people don't get it. And so what they're trying to make fun of is that supposedly this woman is being judgmental of that union worker, when this is actually an indictment against our society, because somebody such as a street sweeper, and I'm not besmirching anybody that is sweeping the streets, is making all the money that they're making. I am actually saying that we need to stop this, we need to dismantle this, and we need to either get that person that is capable of doing far more with themselves and get them trained with a skill so that they can actually go do something more than street sweeping. We have failed ourselves, and we have failed in making people prepared, and our education system has literally gotten everybody on board with the idea, okay, well, whatever the state's going to let me do, as long as I make a living wage, that's all that matters. As long as I get, you know, a roof over my head, decent food, and take a vacation, and have a lifestyle like everybody else, I'm sorry. You have to work to have a better lifestyle. There are standards, and we have literally crossed the line, folks, where when we're looking at these things, and I'm just asking you, when you see these things, start challenging them. This is accepting and promoting communism. And this is basically trying to shame somebody for saying, are you kidding me? You couldn't do more with your life? Actually, if we can't get people to sweep the streets on a regular basis, then there's nothing wrong with getting, you know, low threat criminals to get out and start doing some of this work, right? We need, if there's laws that keep us from having those who have violated us with crimes or what have you, and they can't do work, we need to fix those laws so that they can. Our society needs to start understanding a day's labor and understanding and appreciating a day's labor. And that's why we got to get rid of the minimum wage. That's why we have to get away from government involvement, because every time they create a bottom, they have to create a top. And that's why they have taken over the healthcare system and started dictating. And you hear them already talking about, hey, executives shouldn't be making that kind of money. Executives shouldn't be walking away with millions and millions of dollars. I do not care how much an executive makes. I do care if it's a public utility company, whether there's profits involved, because the concept of a public utility company is a zero profit. You should have a salary and that's it. There should be no bonuses. Those bonuses should be given back to the people or improvements to the system, such as making it more resilient and so forth. We have definitely allowed the elitists to take over and to help self-aggrandize themselves and actually get everybody kind of focused on what the problem isn't. And that's why we have completely obfuscated the reality that we're moving and slowly being boiled into communism. With that, I will be right back with just a couple of other news tidbits, but I do want to get into the 49th article of the Federalist Papers next. So we'll be right back after that. Thank you. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And let me move on. I love pitching into those social media phrase and kind of make challenge people, because I see these cartoons, these memes and so forth, and it's like nobody gets it. It's like we're all on board with communism, how evil that person is for telling their child that they should aspire to be better. I am telling you that the Democrats and the communists, they have, and I've been telling you this for years and years, they have elitist ideologies. And one of the things that popped up last week that I didn't get a chance to talk about, but I want you to consider this. I want you to really think about this. You've probably heard that the Department of Interior chair, Zinke, he's in charge of the Department of Interior, and he has been caught violating travel policies. And so, is this a sign that the staff, because this is really coming out, that it seems like everybody from the EPA, from him and others, it seems like everybody that is really new to these department chair positions are, you know, they're violating these things. And so the question is this a sign that the staff underneath these chairs are the deep state? is there some possibility that there may be, because I'm telling you, these departments are steeped with deep state folks. The Department of Interior, are you kidding me? They're not lovers of trees. What they are is lovers of taking personal property. They don't care about killing cows. I mean, talk to the folks that have dealt with these folks, like the Bundys, the Hammonds, and so forth. These people are insidious and they're evil. Talk to Jeanette Finnicum, the widow of Lavoie Finnicum, and ask her how these people are. She's right now fighting for justice. An American fighting for justice against an oppressive government. And so the question I have is what's going on? Why is it that these leaders that are in there, I believe what's going on is that these EPA, because it's been proven that the EPA, the guy that was in charge of the EPA that ended up having to resign because of travel violations and so forth, I'll bet you anything that he was set up. And he was asked, hey, do you want to, you know, we can kind of cover this up for you. Yeah, you're not supposed to do it, but if you get caught, you'd be in trouble. But, you know, that's, everybody does it, that kind of thing. Just to get these guys vulnerable. And so because these guys were willing to actually go out and go across, you know, the endangered waters of doing something they shouldn't be doing. To me, this is really an indictment of how Trump should just completely eradicate the full staff of every single one of these departments. If he doesn't, then these departments are going to be going on full bore to undo everything that he and his department heads have done. That has already been proven by the EPA, because everything that was undone got undone by the, or redone by the new hostile temp fill director who has been a part of the bureaucracy in the deep state from the beginning. I am telling you that what we're seeing is really more of an exposure that these guys that are willing, because that's what happens. If you're willing to compromise, say, yeah, you know what, it'd be nice to take my wife on this trip. Yeah, sure. You think we can get away with it? And then when they don't, somebody somewhere else actually calls them out, you know, hey, as long as the evidence doesn't point to the person that tried to help you do that, then you were very well successfully set up. And that causes problems. And all it does is it just proves. And so maybe Trump ought to start considering people of maybe a higher moral character that wouldn't be tempted to violate and understand that, no, if my wife travels, I have to pay for her own travel and so forth, and that can get expensive, blah, 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 period. And that's, I think, what we're seeing with, you know, some of these hostile actions towards Trump's department heads are literally the revolting underneath by the minions within these deep state programs. Now, with regard to this migrant caravan that is coming, I know that Trump has been doing everything he can, and he has vowed to slash Central American aid and so forth. But the real question that we need to really start pondering is, what is causing this onslaught? What is the real problem? Now, I've said this before. I do not believe we have an immigration problem. We could probably sustain ourselves with a complete open borders. Now, we have to make sure that if you are not a resident, you cannot vote, you cannot get any privileges, but more importantly, it is entitlement. If we got rid of the entitlement state, in other words, no more welfare, if you get welfare, it comes out of the community, it comes out of your churches, it does not come from taxes, period. And that way, you know, your parishioners will have to kind of keep your way leaders kind of straight, because there have been churches like the Catholic Church that has literally become, you know, a vestige, a bastion of safety and seclusion for illegal immigrants to come in And if the parishioners, the members of that church, do not say, hey, look, you know, you're just enabling, you know, bad behavior, you know, these people should not be getting anything from, because where's that money coming from? It's coming from those people who are contributing, whether they be, you know, offerings, tithes, what have you, the plate. That money is coming out of the pockets of the people that are living there. It's, you can consider that a tax, but that is your direct representation, and that's where you should be going and saying, you know, look, if you want to be a church for, you know, migrants or what have you, then maybe you should set up your church over there, because we are looking for spiritual guidance here, not looking for giving you money to, you know, allow people to come across the border and, you know, violate our laws and so forth. The real problem is this, that we have a fully government-controlled economy. And I asked you to think about, what kind of economy do we have? Most people would say, oh, we kind of have a heavily regulated free market. No, we don't even have, we're not even close to that. We lost the heavily regulated free market when they started creating the FEC and all of these other things. What we have today, my friends, is we have a mercantile system, period. The government dictates anything and everything, and they control every business any way they want, period. And so they create laws, they create barriers against certain types of companies to protect, you know, large businesses, corporations, and what have you. And there is no doubt in my mind that we are literally, we have gone back to the old English mercantile system, where the government is practically dictating products, they're dictating how you manufacture and so forth. And so we have come much closer to a mercantile system than we are to a free market system, where people want to have a toilet that'll flush 5 gallons. I want one. Can't get it because the government won't let them produce it. And that's where we are. So this really comes down to the real problem of liberty versus oppression. And we have a government that has well overstepped its bounds in every facet, from labor, production, consumption. They have overstepped their bounds in every facet of our lives. And I keep on telling people, how is that not communism? Oh, well, we don't call it communism here. We call it America. Well, you can put a smiley face on it, but it's still communism. Or just like Jonah Goldberg's Liberal Fascism in America is with a yellow smiley face. A very interesting book. But nonetheless, we have been slowly and slowly indoctrinated through the education system and everything else to be moved into this direction. And we're supposed to be happy. If you're happy with where we are, then, you know, then they've won. But if you're not and you want to make a change, that is where Republic Review comes in. That is why it is important to get involved with what we're doing on this show. To close on this concept of these migrants coming up, some say the National Guard and the military are being sent into deployments, and that actually would be a very constitutional and appropriate constitutional measure done by the president. These may not be combatants per se with guns in their hands, but they are enemies of our system by deliberately trying to undermine our laws and system. And so the Constitution makes clear, and I could easily, you know, ask for somebody to call in and say, you know, show me in the Constitution where I believe you'll find it in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. And we've talked about it several times. That's the guarantee clause, right? But in Article 4, Section 4, it states that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislatures can't be convened against domestic violence. So we absolutely have a case here where we should have some type of military force on our borders enforcing our laws of immigration and not just having an open, porous border as the Democrats would love to undermine us and who are literally doing that, undermining us. But that's a different topic. Let me be back and we'll get into the Federalist Papers right after this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Yeah, back on that invasion clause, there is no doubt that that is a direct invasion. Trump has been very clear to stop, stop, stop. And it seems like nobody has the political will, or they just don't have the integrity as far as a people in these nations below, south of us. Therefore, there are Marines at Camp Pendleton. There are Marines at Lejeune. And I would basically tell Mexico, you want to have a war? You know, we're going to be taking our Marines across the border. We are going to basically box all of these people up into nice, comfortable, you know, what do you want to call them, charter buses or what have you, and we will be driving them down to deliver them to you, period. And that way you can deport them appropriately as you see fit. But if they come back to our border, then we will deal with you. But making sure that Mexico understands we're coming onto their land because they are literally not stopping this invasion. And we consider this an act of war because that's what the Constitution refers to it as. And the president has the constitutional powers of executing Article 4, Section 4. And now he can't declare war, but he can basically defend us from war. And so there's, and I would love to have, this may be a good debate for myself, Keith, and Doug Gibbs and a whole bunch of people. But the whole point is that we absolutely have a sovereignty. We have a right to be able to protect ourselves from just people who want to come here and take from us because that's exactly what they want to do. You really want to solve this problem? Sorry for going on this. I'm not trying to tease you on the Article 49. But if you really want to solve this problem, America needs to open up its statehoods and let the southern states, Central America, should become a state. If they want to become a state of the United States, then let them become a state. Now, it would not be, you know, Honduras, Guatemala. Those would be like counties or sub-elements of the state itself. The reason why they've all been split and divided and so forth is for very political purposes, but we should be able to allow Central America to apply for statehood if they so choose to, and literally go through that process. Sorry about that. Anyway, I'm going to move forward now. And the reason why this is very important, because the section or Article 49 of the Federalist Papers is a glimpse. This is not the plan. This is a glimpse of a mechanism of enforcing the Constitution. Now, you got to remember that this whole concept actually came out of a book called The Notes on the State of Virginia, as I read last week. And this is how it starts off. But the title of this is Method of Guarding Against the Encroachments of Any One Department of Government by Appealing to the People Through a Convention. Now, you got to remember, I said this again. The convention that they talk about is not a constitutional convention. This is not a Article 5 convention to amend or anything like that. They did everything in conventions. So he kind of goes through this whole thing, and he basically puts it into context of, well, one of the things that we would do in enforcing against encroachments or guarding against encroachments is have a mechanism. Well, so, but they didn't really do that in a mechanism. There was no amendment in the Constitution. And so that's why, if you look at what ended up happening during 1798, when the federal government violated the states' rights and powers and the Constitution, that's why Madison and Jefferson very specifically went down the path that they did instead of just necessarily calling for a constitutional convention or an Article 5 convention or anything like that. But technically, they were calling for a convention and correspondence, because if you remember in Resolution 8, that's exactly what Jefferson was saying. He was saying, let every state set up delegates for conventions and correspondence. So anyway, the author of the Notes on the State of Virginia, quoted in the last paper, now again, that was an Anti-Federalist paper, has subjoined to that valuable work the draft of a constitution, which has been prepared in order to be laid before a convention expected to be called in 1783 by the legislature for the establishment of a constitution for that commonwealth. So this was Jefferson's vision of what needed to be injected into that constitution. The plan, like everything else, from the plan, like everything from the same pen, marks a turn of thinking. Original, comprehensive, and accurate, and is more worthy of attention as it equally displays a fervent attachment to republican government and an enlightened view of the dangerous propensities against which it ought to be guarded. What he just said there was so eloquently stated, and he was talking about Jefferson and this plan that he was proposing. He says the plan, like everything from the same pen, from Jefferson's pen, makes a turn of thinking, original, comprehensive, and accurate, and is more worthy of attention. So anyway, I know I'm just repeating it, but it is very insightful where he is basically saying this is literally edge, it's like technology leading type of breaking news, breaking technology type of stuff. It's literally moving from a hard drive to storage plasma. I mean, it is a paradigm shift in governance. And so he goes on to saying, one of the precautions which he proposes and on which he appears ultimately to rely as a palladium to the weaker departments of power against the invasions of the stronger is perhaps altogether his own, and as it immediately relates to the subject of our present inquiry, ought not to be overlooked. His proposition is that whenever any two of the three branches of government shall concur in opinion by each by the voice of two-thirds of their whole number, that a convention is necessary for altering the Constitution or correcting breaches of it. So gotta see here. Now, this is back before the Constitution was written that gave the two houses of Congress a two-thirds requirement of amending. That's kind of why where that threshold came from. But what he was saying is that, you know, Jefferson was definitely broaching this idea that even two branches of government, so the Supreme Court and the executive, could, in Jefferson's model in the state of Virginia, they could actually call for a convention for altering the Constitution or correcting the breaches thereof. And he goes on and says, a convention shall be called for the purpose, and he quotes, as the people are the only legitimate fountain of power, and it is from them that the constitutional charter under which the several branches of government hold their power is derived, it seems strictly consonant to the Republican theory to recur to the same original authority, not only whenever it may be necessary to enlarge, diminish, or new model of the powers of government, but also whenever any one of the departments may commit encroachments on the chartered authorities of the other. Now, you got to remember that he is pointing to, in the state of Virginia, the people, because it is the people that literally empowered that government. They're the ones that literally created the, you know, the House of Burgesses. They're the ones that formed the government of Virginia. And so they delegated to it powers. In the Constitution of the United States, who were the parties to the Constitution? I've said this several times. It was not we the people. It was we the people of the separate 13 sovereignties, the states. And so when it comes to who is the overseer of the Constitution of the United States, it is the states. That is why when in 1798, when the Constitution was being violated, Jefferson didn't call for a mass mob overcoming the U.S. government. He went back to the state legislatures and said, hey, look, this is your responsibility because you are the parties to this contract. And so we move forward, because this is like the aha moment. Okay, we do have the potentiality of encroachments. How do we deal with them if it is not through an Article 5 convention? And because that's what they're talking about. And I will go back to that part. He says that a convention is necessary for altering the Constitution or correcting breaches of it. So you either get into rewriting the Constitution, which would be an Article 5 process, because that mechanism is encased within the Constitution itself. But that's only for changing. So when it comes to breaches, then how do you deal with breaches? Because that mechanism was never put into it. Granted, they clearly identified in the Federalist Papers and throughout the ratification debates that when this contract is being violated, it becomes null and void for all parties. And so, oops, I'm out of time, but that just got us through the first paragraph. This is this fascinating, and I hope you're really enjoying this as much as I am. I am G.R. Mobley. I am reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. So God bless, and we will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much. I have been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.